Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This is the word of the Lord. In his first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul speaks to wives who had come to faith in Christ, but whose husbands remained unbelievers. And these women seem to have been concerned that their marriages might be unholy as they found themselves unequally yoked. And we can imagine that they were concerned most of all for their children. For in the days of Ezra, those men who had returned to the land of promise with foreign wives, they were called to put them away along with their children. But the Apostle Paul encourages each of these holy women not to divorce her husband if her husband consents to live with her. And he gives this reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. And then he goes on to say, otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. See then, the child of even one believer is holy. And so Paul assures these holy women who bear the grief and sorrow of their husband's unbelief. He assures them that their children are holy, that though their husbands are outside the church, their children are not. They are holy to the Lord. Now, in Acts chapter 16, we meet one such woman. For here we find Timothy. And we are told that he was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but that his father was a Greek. His mother was Jewish. His father was not. His mother is spoken of as a believer, but his father is not. And so we are left to assume that he was not. How great then is this encouragement that Timothy here is called a disciple. He did not follow in the unbelief of his father, but in the faith of his mother. Now in time, Paul will call Timothy my true child, and again, my beloved child. Paul becomes a father to Timothy in the faith. But he did not teach Timothy the faith. That Timothy had learned from his mother and from his mother's mother. As Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother, and now dwells in you. And later in that same letter, Paul writes, chapter 3, verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, a son does not only learn the faith from his father. He learns it from his mother as well. And even if he only learns it from her, the wisdom that he gains is not less. We do not often think of Christ as having learned from his mother. But surely we ought to think in this way. For surely he did, as he grew up before her. For this one who said in his darkest hour, not my will, but yours be done. He was raised by his mother, who had said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. We long for our children to learn Christ from their fathers and their mothers. But even if they learn it only from their mothers, it is still Christ that they learn. In Acts chapter 16, we take heart for those women of the church whose husbands are unbelievers, that not only are their children holy, but may come to faith through the teaching of their mother and through the teaching of the church. If a son cannot learn from his mother, how will he learn from the church? For the church is our mother. And so we take heart that Timothy learned the faith from his mother. And we take heart for all those women of the church whose husbands are unbelievers. We are encouraged here to strengthen them and to bear this burden with them, that in time we may rejoice with them when they see the fruit of their labors that was sown with many prayers and many tears. We see that fruit in Timothy. We see it in his faith. And we see it in his being well spoken of by the church. And for this reason, Paul wanted him to accompany him, to join him in his labors, to serve alongside him. But now he does something that may surprise us. He takes Timothy and circumcises him. We are told that he did this because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Timothy was baptized, but he was not circumcised. And so he is a perfect example of those who had been threatened by that teaching that has just been condemned at the Jerusalem Council. That teaching that said, unless one is circumcised, he cannot be saved. Paul was at that council. And not only was he there, but he himself had been the first to oppose those who were teaching this thing. And after the council had reached its conclusion, it appointed Paul to carry this decision, the decision of the council, to the churches. And what was the council's decision? That it was not necessary for the Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be saved. It was not necessary for them to be circumcised to have fellowship with the church. But if this was the decision of the council, and if Paul himself had argued in favor of this decision, why then does he take Timothy and circumcise him? And his decision here is all the more curious. We think about what he wrote in his letter to the churches of Galatia regarding another who accompanied him, namely Titus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. In the case of Titus, Paul refused that he should be circumcised. And why? For the sake of the gospel. But now he has Timothy circumcised. And why? Why else? But for the sake of the gospel. We have said before that in the book of Acts, we see the unity of the church, but we do not always see uniformity in the church. In the book of Acts, we see the unity of the church, but we also see the diversity of its life. As we work through the book of Acts, we find that there seems to be a time for everything in the church. A time for peace, and a time for tribulation. A time for fleeing, and a time for staying. A time to die, and a time to live. A time to stand firm, and a time not to insist on one's own way. And here it would seem that it was such a time as that. A time not to insist for the sake of those who might be offended. It does seem strange. As Paul was going to these churches to assure them that circumcision was not necessary, that he would then have Timothy circumcised. But it was not wrong that Timothy be circumcised. And that is the way of love. It does not insist on what is unnecessary. And if we are all to learn this way, how much more did Timothy need to learn it? Or how much more must a minister learn it? How much more if he is to teach it? He bears the weaknesses of those to whom he is sent. See, Paul could have won the argument. But Paul was not seeking to win an argument. He was seeking to win his brothers. And though it was surely painful for Timothy to do so, he did not refuse. For he was motivated by love. And see the reward of his pain. See the reward of his suffering. The churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The pain was momentary, but the joy eternal. What then shall we say to these things? How often do we find that the church is not what we think it should be? And at times, we may even be right, though probably less often than we think. Yet even when we are right, we have the right to let go of our being right. Even when we are right, we have the freedom to let go of our rights and love the body as it is, rather than insisting that it be what it is not. The one who refuses to love until the church is worthy of his love, he will never love, for that is not love. Here we see the love of Christ. Here we see what he loves. Let us learn his love. Let us learn to love what he loves. Let us love one another. Amen.